Let's look to our God in prayer. Our Father, You are a great God, awesome, glorious. We come to worship You in spirit and truth. Forgive us for cold hearts. May You stir us up, that we would love You with our whole heart. This is what You demand, and we seek to do so as we come to Your Word this morning. We pray that You would teach us, that You'd work in our hearts, that we would not only understand, but it would have its influence and work in changing and drawing us closer to Yourself, conforming us to Your image. We plead, Lord, for Your mercy. Help us in Your precious name. Amen. Our message this morning will be entitled, The Holy Spirit, Truth, and His Effects. We want this morning briefly to look at part of the work of the Holy Spirit in the realm of sanctification. And the Holy Spirit in the sanctification of believers works in us as to our whole soul, our whole mind, our whole will and affection, that we have a gracious principle and disposition of living in holiness unto our God, where the substance of our life consists in being holy and pleasing in His sight. We understand from Holy Scripture that we are regenerated, we are brought to life, spiritual life, by the Holy Spirit. It is His work. So our Lord says in John chapter 3 and verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you and I have been quickened to life, it's not because of anything we have done. It is not because of who we are, for by nature we are sinners and children of wrath. It is nothing that we could muster up ourselves, but we are born again. We gain spiritual life exclusively and only through the sovereign power of the Holy Spirit that quickens us to life. And so Paul says in Ephesians 2:1 that we are quickened, those who are dead are quickened unto life by the Spirit. He is the one who works in our hearts. And our Lord says in John in chapter 16, that part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to convince sinners of their sin, is to stir within their heart where they realize that they are in rebellion against a holy God, realizing that they are breaking the very law of God. And so in John chapter 16 and verse 7, nevertheless, our Lord says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in Me, of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more, of judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. Now there is much in this passage regarding the activity of the Holy Spirit, but what I am emphasizing this morning is that aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit that convicts the world of sin. He is the one that stirs. It is not the preacher in themselves. It is not the sinner himself, but it is that work of the Spirit of God giving to sinners that disposition whereby they seek after Christ and they seek to know Him. Now upon being born again, the Holy Spirit, the Lord says, dwells within us. He comes in to our life. Not only is the Holy Spirit with us as our comforter, but He is in us in that mystical relationship of the Spirit of God within His people. In John chapter 14 and verse 17, listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks of the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be what? In you. The Holy Spirit will be in us if we are born again. Now what does He do within us? His task and His work is to make us holy, among other things, and to make us holy by the truth. For the Holy Spirit functions and works exclusively within the context of truth. And so this is what we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. The apostle says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. We are sanctified by the Spirit of God as He functions and operates within us in the context of truth. His work to make us holy." Back in John chapter 15, the Lord speaks of the Holy Spirit in this terms, where He says in John 15 and verse 26 of that chapter, "But when the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit," what? "Of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me." The Spirit of truth. He functions and works in the context of truth, and He brings that truth to bear upon the hearts of God's people, whereby they become more and more holy and conform to the image of Christ. He works truth within us. Listen to Isaiah, Isaiah 59. In Isaiah, the 59th chapter, notice verse 21 of that chapter. "As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore." That Spirit that brings truth to the heart, He functions within the context of truth that sanctifies God's people. Therefore, if the Spirit sanctifies, it will be done. if He works in our hearts to make us holy, it will be done. There is no such thing as a Christian that is unholy, and there's absence of the holy influence if the Spirit of God is sanctifying. Therefore, it is final. The Holy Spirit reveals that word, and He will. If you are a child of God, the Spirit of God reveals truth. You will understand this revelation. Sure, there's finer points, difficult to understand, but you will understand what is needful in your walk before the Lord. There are those who claim to be Christians and they say, well, I read the Bible, but I don't understand. Not so. If the Spirit is within, because His ministry that cannot fail, that will prevail, is to teach His people, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. But God has revealed to them, that is the truth, through to us, through His Spirit. For the Spirit, it searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. He reveals to us. He will do so that the people of God will understand. The people of God will see truth, and the people of God will be sanctified. The Word of God is the exclusive rule of all holy obedience. We are not to obey man's commands. We are not to obey what is created by those in this world, but God's Word is the exclusive rule of all obedience. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. This is what God says. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you. This is it. You can't add, you can't take away. These are the commands, and these are the commands that you are pressed and commanded to do. Again, in Proverbs, the 30th chapter and verse 6, do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. So that when we come to the text in 2 Thessalonians that we read earlier, where Paul says that God has called us to salvation, He has chosen us for salvation. He has done so in the context of sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. There's no salvation apart from holiness. No salvation apart from that activity of the work of the Spirit of God if He is in us. He will prevail. Now here's the question that we ask this morning. The question is this. How do I know, as I profess to be a Christian, that the Spirit lives in me? How do I know? You know by the effects of His work. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see the effects of the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 3 and verse 7 and 8 of that chapter. This is what our Lord says. He says that that verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Now listen, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You can't see the wind itself. But what happens? You see the effects. You see the leaves blowing on the tree. And you know the wind is there, even though you can't see it. So it is with the Holy Spirit. You cannot see the Holy Spirit. But when He works in the heart, it's like the wind. You can see the effects of it. And the effects of it is that you are a holy man, a holy woman. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, this is what Paul says again in verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 2. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. Now notice, which also effectively works in you who believe. The word which you welcome, and every child of God welcomes the word of God, has this effect. It works in them. You see fruits coming from that word. If you welcome that word, if you received that word, it will work by the Spirit of God with you. It will have an effect upon your life. There are those who claim to listen and hear the word of God and receive the word of truth when there's no effect. Listen to the argument of Paul in Romans chapter 8 and beginning with verse 9. Listen how he reasons and how he seeks to persuade. Romans 8 in verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Listen to me. You as believers, you're not in the flesh. You're not in the realm of deadness and of darkness, but you're in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Well, how do I know, Paul? Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if the Spirit, or if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Listen, says Paul. Listen to me. If any one of you, if you have the Spirit of Christ, if He dwells within you, the body of sin is death. That is, you're not in the flesh any longer. The power of sin is no longer governing you. Rather, you are in life spiritually. That's the effect of it. And you're doing holy things, pleasing to God. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now listen, if this is not so, and you are not progressively becoming more and more holy, and if the effects of the work of the Spirit is not seen in the life, then you are not His. You are not in Christ. The Spirit indwelt in a believer will have the effect that righteousness will prevail. Holiness will be the substance of life. You see the effects. Listen, by way of example, in John chapter 9. Look at the effect of the Spirit of God. In John, in chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that what the works of God should be revealed, which are revealed in the Spirit of God quickening. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with saliva, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. You see, when the work upon the heart is done by God, by His Spirit quickening, there is that effect. He was blind, but now he sees. When God works upon the man, it isn't that he's blind and he remains blind, but he sees. There is that effect. And there is that outcome. You can't see the Spirit in His work as far as the Spirit Himself, but you see the effects of it. Look at Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 38 of that chapter, Peter's mother-in-law healed. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever. They made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. Immediately she arose and served them. He has but to speak. The Lord Christ deals with the life, and what happens? She's sick, but now she is healed. There is that effect in the life of this individual. In Luke chapter 5, in verses 12 and 13, Jesus cleansed a leper. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face, implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him. You see the words of Christ. And this is the activity of the Holy Spirit in applying the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ, where when He comes and gives spiritual life and you're born again of the Spirit, there is an effect, there is a change, there is a difference. When you read of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 2 to the church of Ephesus, he says in Revelation 2 and verse 5, he says, remember therefore from which you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your candlestick from his place, unless you repent. Then he says in verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give unto eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He who has an ear, let him hear. Calls us to our responsibility. He calls to repentance. Listen, those that are His will hear. those that are His will receive. And that's why when the Lord speaks and gives the parable of the sower illustrating the matter of grace, He says at the very end in Matthew 13 and verse 23, He says this, "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30. You hear, you understand, and you bear fruit. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That shows that the Holy Spirit is within you when you understand, when you bear fruit, when you are holy, when you are changed. Now here's the closing arguments. You hear the Word of God. The question is this: does it change you? When you hear the Word of God, is there conviction? Does it change you? There has been studies and messages from this pulpit that has addressed certain issues among the people of God. You hear, you understand, but has it changed you? Or is it just the same? There's been no change. Even though particular areas are addressed regarding holy living, that which is pleasing to God, you don't change. You say, "Pastor, that was a good sermon. Awesome." You're excited about truth. Does it change? You see, the Spirit of God convicts and changes. The effect is not that the Spirit of God grants understanding to you and I and then sits back and says, "Well, they don't comply, doesn't matter, at least I gave it to them and they understand." No! You will change because the Spirit of God will accomplish His work. The Spirit of God will never fail. And when the Spirit of God speaks, the people of God understand. They will change. That is how you tell whether the Spirit is dwelling within you. Is the Spirit dwelling within you? Does the work of the Spirit become evident? The Word of God corrects. Does it change your thinking? Does it cause you to say, I must look into this seriously. I must change the way that I'm thinking. I must change the way that I'm walking. Or is it just the same? One of the responsibilities of pastors is to oversee the sheep of the flock, the people of God. And part of their ministry is that through the Word of God, they are to present the Word to address the issues that cause the people of God to either be sick spiritually, to be distressed, to need comfort, to need encouragement, to deal with areas of sin. It's their responsibility. It isn't the preacher that causes any change. It is the Spirit of God alone. The preacher is the mouthpiece. But what is it when the shepherds, yea, the overseers, preach and you see this issue and you see that issue and you address it, and everything goes on as usual. We're here next Sunday. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. And as pastors, part of the grief, you could see it in the Apostle Paul at times. He had become very sharp in the way that he rebuked in the book of Galatians. But you see this, what discouragement it is, because it's like there should be some change. Should be looking, what have we said? Have you meditated upon the word? We become so distracted in the way that we listen to the word of God that we really don't catch everything, do we? And we never sometimes take it to heart that, whoa, it's me. The Lord's speaking to me. But it's rather just, okay, the Lord understands. If I had a dollar for every time a professing Christian says, well, God just understands. I'm frail and I'm human. What can I do? I'd be a millionaire. No. Because you see, here's the factor that nobody seems, or few get, who feel that way. And it's this. The Spirit of God is the one who is applying the redemptive work of Christ in the heart of believers. And if He is in your heart, in your life, He will make you holy. He will stir you up so that you will be convicted. And when the Word of God comes and you see, wait a minute, I'm not thinking that way. I'm not walking that way. The Spirit of God will convict you that you have to change. So if you hear something from the Word of God and the Word of God alone, and you say, well, I don't think I'm doing that, and then you don't do anything about it, very well be that the Spirit's not in you, and if the Spirit's not in you, you are not in Christ. There must be serious contemplation, stirring up. You see, when the Holy Spirit sanctifies, He does so and accomplishes His work. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished His work, there wasn't a flaw in His work. He accomplished everything He set out to do. So the Spirit, the same way. He will not fail. Now, of course, that brings up this problem. The Spirit only functions in the context of truth. Therefore, you must be under ministries or a ministry that is preaching truth. That's why the Scripture demands that those who are called truly of Christ to the ministry are ones who are in sound doctrine, who preach the truth, because the Spirit of God only functions. So when you're sitting and you're listening to a preacher and he is not preaching the Word of God, he's preaching himself or he's preaching man's wisdom, but not the revelation of Jesus Christ, then you know the Spirit is not going to work. Oh, but you don't understand. You see, you have these places. I mean, they are alive, Pastor. You should see them, and the Spirit is pouring down on them, and their hands are up, and they're praising the Lord. No! If it's falsehood, the Spirit is not leading and working. He only works in the context of truth. But people don't examine that. They don't examine. They cry to the Lord sometimes, Lord, make me holy. Lord, I want to be holy. And yet they will sit under men who are not preaching truth. Isn't that amazing? And they expect that God will make them holy. No, He won't. In the context of truth, yea, the Spirit of truth. And that's what we ask. Is the Holy Spirit living in you? Is the Holy Spirit living in you? And if you're honest with your heart, and you know that this word means very little to you, and that you listen out of religious tradition, but you're not going to be changed, you're not going to be different. One remedy for you, and that is Christ. You need to come and plead that the Lord Jesus Christ would give you rest. The Lord Jesus Christ would save you, would change you, pleading before God, O Lord, grant me a new heart. And the Scripture says, He never turns down a sinner who comes and cries for mercy. May it be. What change? What effect does the Word have? What effect will the Word have today? When we come next week, will we be different people? Will we be a little bit different in our conduct? Or is it just the same? Shall we pray? Our Father, we plead that You would make us more aware of our own heart and the issues of our heart. You don't focus, Lord, on our outward conduct and what we do. You focus on the heart. The issues of life come from the heart. What You want is our heart. All of our heart. Not just some. Oh Lord, be pleased to work in us. May no one be deceived, thinking that they are in You, O blessed Christ, if they are not walking in holiness. Be pleased, Lord, to save sinners and sanctify Your people in Your name. Amen.